I'm going to say up front, this may take a little longer than normally, but I believe this is what we need to hear today. Certainly, you're hearing a sermon that I preach to myself, and I want you to listen in and glean what you will from it. Beloved, this is just not another Sunday. This is not just another sermon. This is a word for a church standing on the threshold. You see, for 72 years, LCC has prayed here, sung here, been baptized here, buried here, services done here. We've cried here, we've laughed here, and we've held on to God here. This building has been a sanctuary. It has been a shelter. It has been home for homeless. But now we stand on a season where God is calling us to move to the unknown. And so the question arises, it raises, what do we do now? What do we do when the familiar is fading? What do we do when the next chapter is not written yet? What do we do when God says it is time to release what has held us and step forward what will hold us next? What do we do? What do the people of God have when they take away what we've always done? How will we respond? How will we listen? How will we trust? How will we follow? Who better to guide us in this moment than Abram and Sarai? Two people who had to leave everything they knew, everything they built, everything they loved, because God whispered a word that rearranged their lives. They were not heroes. They were not fearless. They were not certain. They were simply willing. And beloved, that is where we stand today. Not with all the answers, not with a detailed map, not with a 5-year plan, but with a call, a promise, a God who has not failed us yet. This is not just their story. This is our story. This is LCC's story. This is your story. Which brings us to my first point. The call that disrupts the comfortable. Beloved, when God speaks to Abraham in Genesis 12, the very first words out of God's mouth is a word that shakes the soul. It said, go. Not stay, not settle, not hold on to what we've always known, but go. The one word disrupts everything Abram has built in his life, in his land, in his family's ties, in his sense of place, in his sense of identity, in his sense of security. God's call is not a gentle suggestion. It is a holy disruption. Why does God disrupt us? Why does God disturb our comfortable places we've settled into? Because God knows something we don't. Comfort can become a cage. Familiarity can become a fortress. Security can become a substitution for faith. God disrupts us not to destroy us, but to develop us, not to punish us, but to prepare us, not to uproot us for the sake of loss, but to replant us for the sake of growth. God's disruption is always tied to God's promise. God's disruption is always tied to God's intention. God's goal is always tied to I will show you. And beloved, that is where LCC stands today. We are living inside a divine disruption. We are living inside a holy interruption. We are living inside of a sacred goal. And let's be honest, we don't like disruption. We don't like change. We don't like uncertainty. We don't like the ground that is shifting beneath our feet. We like what we know. We like what we can predict. We like what we can control. And for 72 years, this building has been a part of our knowing. These walls have been part of our comfort. This sanctuary, a part of our identity. So when God says it's time to move, it's time to sail, it's time to trust me with the next chapter, something in us tightens, something trembles, something in us resists. Because disruption feels like loss. Disruption feels like grief. Disruption feels like stepping into a fog with no flashlight. And if we're going to be faithful, we must name our fears, because unspoken fears become spiritual roadblocks. Some of us are losing our history. Some of us are fearing losing our identity. Some of us are fearing losing our community. Some of us are fear of losing control. Some of us fear the unknown. Some of us fear the next place won't feel like home. Some of us fear that we won't show up the way God used to, that God won't show up the way God used to. Brothers and sisters, God can handle those fears. God is not intimidated by our trembling. God is not offended by our questions. God is not surprised by our hesitation. You see, faith is not the absence of fear. Faith is the decision to move with fear, because God is moving us. Abraham had to leave the land he knew. LCC is preparing to leave a building we knew. Abraham had to trust God without a map. We have to trust God without a blueprint. Abraham had to walk toward a promise he could not see yet. LCC, we need to walk toward a future we cannot picture yet. Abraham had to believe that God's presence was not tied to a place. We must believe that God's presence is not tied to this building. Abraham had to trust that God has already ahead of him. We must trust that God is already ahead of us. We are not the first people to walk this road. We are walking into Abram's footsteps. We are walking into Sherry's footsteps. We are walking in footsteps of every believer who had ever had to leave the familiar to follow God into the future. We know this story, don't we? Because we've lived it in our lives. When doctors call with the news you didn't expect to hear. When the job you counted on is suddenly shifted, that's disruption. When the child raised takes a new path you didn't plan, that's disruption. When the relationship you depended on to change, that's disruption. When the world turns upside down, that's disruption. And yet somehow God meets us in the middle of it. Somehow God steadies us. Somehow God carries us. Somehow God grows us. If God ever thought you and brought you through disruption before, then you already know that God can bring you through this too. So let me put it this way. Let me tell you how the ancestors used to say it, the elders, the great cloud of witnesses. God does not call us to stay. God calls us to step. God does not call us to sell. God calls us to surrender. God does not call us to comfort. God calls us to be courageous. God does not call us to certainty. God calls us to trust. God calls not, does not call us for familiar. God calls us into faith. Because the next text simply says, Abram went. Not because he understood, not because he was ready, not because he had all the answers, but because he trusted the one who called him. Love, that is our call today. Not to understand everything, not to feel ready for everything, not to have answers for everything, but to trust God who is calling us. Tim and Steve, and you too, Dorothy. I hope you remember when I first came here. I think the second week or third week I preached after you had called me. I said, I'm here until God calls me away. Tim immediately said, after service, and said, are you leaving? I said, no, but I'm always listening. And I have to confess to you that during this process, I'm like, ooh, retirement is looking good. I said, ooh, this is ending. Not so sure about that. God hasn't told me that yet. So be encouraged. You see, after God disrupted Abraham's comfort with the command to go, God followed it with a promise that reordered everything Abraham thinks he knows about himself. God said, I will bless you and make your name great. Now, if we're not careful with this text, we hear that through the ears of this culture, a culture obsessed with fame, obsessed with platform, obsessed with being seen and being observed, obsession with being celebrated. But this isn't celebration. This is not spotlight. This is not stardom. This is purpose. This is purpose. God is not telling Abram, I'm going to make you important. God says, I'm going to make you useful. God is not saying, I'm going to make you famous. God is saying, I'm going to make you faithful. God is not saying, I'm going to elevate you above others. God says, I'm going to work through you for others. Blessing is not what Abraham does. Blessing is who Abraham is. Blessing becomes his identity. A sign of God's presence. A vessel of God's hope. A carrier of God's healing, a witness to God's grace. See, for 72 years, this building has been a blessing to families and children, a blessing to community, a blessing to the city. But hear me. If I may, I just think back 18 years ago or thereabouts. The church was told that it was going to close. It needed to close. There was nothing. We needed to change everything. And there were a few of you who said, no, not yet. The money was funny and the change was strange. You said, not yet. And as I reflect back those 18 years, I remember one of the first people we saw was a lady who lived across the street down the way who said they were getting evicted, and our little struggling church paid her rent, and it was not cheap. It was not cheap. I remember a couple came in and said, we need to get married in a church. We had a conversation and we put on a wedding for them here. In the midst of it, that's when we were robbed. But that family remembered. There are so many stories. Family promise coming a couple of times a year. And there was a move. Our money was funny and our change was strange. And somehow we added a shower. So they didn't have to go to the rec center once a week to get a shower. They could shower every night if they wanted to. Somehow we put in a washer and dryer so they could wash their clothes as they needed and not go to the laundromat once a week. We fed them entire families. At some point, we're going to have a conversation. We're going to get together and share our stories. Invite those who used to be here and reminisce. I had Sean raise that screen for a reason, so you could see that beautiful stained glass that we hide on Sundays. This is a beautiful building. It is. But what made it beautiful were the heart of the people, the blessings. So yes, this building has been a blessing. It has blessed families and children and the community and blessed the city. But hear me, the blessings was never the building. The blessings was always the people. The blessing was always the ministry. The blessing was always the Spirit moving through each one of you. Whether you've been here for 20 years or you've been here for a week or two. The building was a vessel, but we are the blessing. When God says it's time to move, God is not removing the blessing. God is releasing it. God is redirecting it. God is repositioning it, because blessing is not tied to location. Blessing is tied to the calling. God told Abram, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. That little phrase, so that everything changes. We are not blessed to sit. We are blessed to serve. We are not blessed to boast. We are blessed to build. We are not blessed to rise above others. We are blessed to lift others up. This is where LCC's story becomes powerful, because selling a building is not the end of a blessing. It is an activity of a blessing. It means God is preparing us in new ways to do new things. It means God is preparing us to bless others through each of us. It means God is preparing to expand our reach with our witness and our ministry. Let's be honest. When God starts talking about blessing, we sometimes get nervous because we fear that change will erase who we are. We fear that moving will diminish our identity. We fear that letting go will make us less. But here's the good news. The identity is rooted in God, not in the loss. Identity is rooted in a calling not to be erased. Identity rooted in the blessing cannot be diminished. Abram didn't lose himself when he left home. He found himself. He didn't lose his identity. He received an identity. He didn't lose his purpose. He stepped into his purpose. Beloved, LCC is not losing itself. It's stepping into itself. It's stepping into the next chapter of what is called, what its calling is. LCC is stepping into the next expression of this blessing. God tells Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. That's a big promise, a world-sized promise, a promise that went beyond Abram's imagination. And so, beloved, God is giving us a promise that stretched beyond what we can see right now. A promise that is blessing in this house is meant to reach beyond these walls. A blessing that the ministry of this church is not confined to an address. A blessing that the Spirit is not done with us, that the Spirit is just getting started. The ancestors, the great cloud of witnesses, would put it this way. You are blessed not to keep it, but to give it. You are blessed not to hoard it, but to share it. You are blessed not to hide it, but to shine it. You are blessed not to stay where you are, but to go where God sends you. You are blessed not to cling to the past, but to walk into the future. You are blessed not because of a building, but because of people who builds, because of a God who builds people. The blessing is not behind us. The blessing is before us. It is within us. The blessing is upon us. And the blessing is calling us forward. Point number three. The journey that forms people. After God calls Abram to go, and after God promises to bless him, the text gives us one small line that carries a world of meaning. Abraham journeyed by stages. Before I even read this text, I was saying, well, you know, the first thing we got to do is sell the building. Everybody said, well, what are we going to do next? We got to sell the building. What's the ministry going to look like? I don't know. It's got to sell the building. This building is draining our resources. My mentor asked me a question a month ago. I call her on occasion. I've been calling her since Leslie passed. And we were talking about this shift. What does it look like? I said, I don't know. She said, do you still enjoy preaching? I said, you know, the truth of the matter is. No, she said, how do you feel on Sunday morning when it's time to go to church? I said, well, I feel anxious. I am very anxious when I come. But I told her it's not because I'm getting ready to preach. I think I'm doing much better than I used to. I think so. Since I'm anxious at night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, my wife would tell you, even I come in in the wintertime, I said, is the boiler going to be working? Is the sound system going to be working? Will we be able to connect? It's the building. The cost of the building. And we began to look at the cost of the building and what is it that we really could be doing? I don't know. I don't know what the next steps look like. But our first step is to do something with the building. It's in stages. Not all at once. Not in a straight line. Not with perfect clarity. Not with flawless execution. He journeyed by stages. You see, we often imagine faith as one leap. One big leap, one dramatic moment where everything changes. But Scripture shows us something different. Faith is not a leap. Faith is a walk. Faith is a process. Faith is a journey. Journeys take time. Journeys take patience. Journeys take endurance. Journeys take trust. Abram didn't become Abraham in a day. Sarai, I didn't become Sarah in a moment. The faith was formed step by step, stage by stage, season by season. And that's exactly how God is transforming Lakewood Christian Church. And let's be honest, we want the whole plan. We want the full picture. We want the next address, the next building, the next chapter, the next thing. But God doesn't give Abraham the map. God gives Abraham a movement. God doesn't give Abraham the destination. God gives Abraham a direction. God did not give Abraham clarity. God gave Abraham companionship. He was a companion with God. He trusted God. He moved when he was told to move. He stopped when he was told to stop. I wish I knew everything. I wish we knew everything at once. We just have to know that the one who walks with us, that's who we know. This journey, I'm coming to an end. I know I'm going long, but the text doesn't say Abraham marched confidently. It doesn't say Abraham never doubted. It doesn't say Abraham never stumbled. It says he journeyed by stages. Some stages were full of faith. Some stages were full of fear. Some stages were full of obedience. Some stages were full of mistakes. Some stages were full of clarity. Some stages were full of confusion. And beloved, that's real faith. Not perfect faith, persistent faith. Not flawless faith, faithful faith. You see, this journey is going to be by stages. Some days we'll be feeling ready. Some days we'll feel unsure. Some days we will feel excited. Some days we will feel grief. Some days we will feel courageous. Some days we will feel tired. And God is with us in every stage. You see, Abraham's journey wasn't about Abraham. It was about forming a family. It was about shaping a people. It was about preparing a nation through the world, through whom the world would be blessed. The journey is a classroom. The journey was the shaping ground. The journey was a place where faith took root. And beloved, ALCC is in that same classroom. God is forming us. God is shaping us. God is preparing us. Not just for survival, but for service. Not just for transition, but for transformation. Not just for a new building, but for a new beginning. God is forming a people who know how to trust. God is forming a people who know how to follow. God is forming a people who know how to bless. Abraham didn't walk alone. Their household walked with them. Their community walked with them. Faith is not a solo project. Faith is a shared journey. And beloved, LCC is not walking this road alone. We walk together. We have our region that walks with us. We have members who walk with us. We have our faith community who walks with us. And when I say that, I'm talking to other congregations. We discern together, we pray together, we'll grieve together, we'll hope together, and we will move together. God is walking with us. God is walking with us. We may not know the destination, but we know the deliverer. We may not know the address, but we know the Almighty. We may not know the next location, but we know the Lord. We may not know the full plan, but we know the promise keeper. We may not know the whole road, but we know the one who walks with us. Beloved, this journey is forming us. This journey is shaping us. This is preparing us. It is blessing us. And I want to close with a story. There was an elder in church, one of those saints who have lived long, long enough to know the Lord for real. And a young man came to her on Sunday after service, frustrated and confused, and said, "Mother," you know, in some churches we call the elders mother. That's why I call her Mother Mary Ann. She's earned that space and that respect. She said, "Mother, I'm trying to follow God, but I can't see the whole picture. I don't know where God is taking me. I don't know how it's going to work out." And she smiled at him only the way an elder can do and kind of slow and wise, full of memory. She said, "Baby, let me tell you something. When I was your age, I used to ask God to show me the whole road, but God never did. And now that I'm older, I understand why." She leaned in to him and said, "If God had shown me the whole road, I would have ran the other way. God shows me just enough to take the next step. Every time I took a step, God made a way. And every time I moved forward, God opened the door. Every time I trusted, God provided. When I look back now, I can see that God was blessing me so I could be a blessing to someone else." And then she said, "Baby, you don't need to see the whole road. You need to see the God who walks with you." Beloved, Abraham's story, that's our story. That's our church story. We are called, we are promised, and we are sent. We are sent to be a blessing, blessed to be a blessing, formed to form people, guide the world into God's hope. And let our church say amen.